Good morning, church. Today is the final Sunday before Christmas. As per our tradition, we continue reflecting on our Advent messages and the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is also the Messiah of all mankind. We shall read from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 56. As usual, all scripture passages are taken from Holman's Christian Standard Bible, my favorite Bible translation, unless otherwise noted. Today we will reflect upon what is known as the Prayer of Mary, or in Latin it is known as the Magnificat. The focus here is on babies. Yes, babies are special, the Christ child. They give us great joy. To mark the names of the occasion, most of us as parents give names to our children to help us to remember what they went through during the 9 months of great expectations. Like us, God in the Old Testament also has many names. He has been called El Shaddai, God Almighty, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace, and Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord is host. For me, sometimes when I think about God, I think about His name as Jehovah intervenes. Now, don't mistake me. God, in His own time and wisdom, sometimes intervenes in our lives to set things right. That is why God is a great God. He's known as El Olam, the everlasting God. As we reflect on Mary and her role during Christmas, I'm surprised how young Mary really was. We heard last week that Mary was likely between the ages of 13 and above when the angel Gabriel paid her a visit. Mary was an unknown, a nobody, a young girl from a village of Nazareth, and she became the vessel that the Christ child would be born to redeem all mankind. As Gabriel declared, nothing will be impossible with God. Mary is special. Even her name is special. Today, not many parents name their child Mary. Yes, Mary has become less popular today among young parents. We look at some statistics looking at the name of Mary. In the U.S. from 1961 to 2011, it was ranked one of the top names in the 60s, but then it declined slowly and is now ranked 112th position in 2011. What's in a name? Mary's name has become less popular today. In fact, the names of boys and girls have become popular. It's got nothing to do with the Bible. Some of the boys' names, yes, like Noah is in number two, and also Joseph, Jacob, is also in the top 10. But Mary's name has gone way down below to the position of 114. In fact, in 2020, in the webzine whattoexpect.com, it's a highly rated webzine talking about how parents or even actually expectant mothers can deal with their pregnancy, ranks Elizabeth higher than Mary, which is at 14th spot, and Mary has gone slightly higher to become at 126th position. The same webzine also says that Joseph's name is ranked at number 14. Joseph is a lot more popular for boys' name compared with Mary for ladies' name. So what's the big deal? What's in a name? As we look into today's passage, we will quickly see that the writer of this gospel actually mentions many names. There is, of course, the name of Jesus, there is Gabriel, there is David, there is Abijah, there is Elizabeth, Mary, Aaron, Joseph, and also Zechariah. In fact, if I remove just a few of those names just to focus on the season of Advent, we will have only the names of Jesus, Gabriel, Mary, Elizabeth, Joseph, and Zechariah. Just before we proceed, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, I ask you, Lord, that you will be with us this morning. I ask you, Father, despite my deficiency and my weaknesses and my faults, that you will use me, O Father, to proclaim your word to those who are listening here today. I pray, O Father, that I will decrease and Jesus will increase, and that your word that goes forth will not return to you empty and void, but so accomplish the purposes of which you have delivered them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. I'm reading from Holman Christian Standard Bible. In those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she exclaimed with a loud cry, "You are most blessed of women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby inside of me leaped for joy. She who has believed is blessed because of what was spoken to her by the Lord's will be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has looked upon me with favor, on the humble condition of his slave. Surely from now on and all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who hear him. He has done a mighty deed with his arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, mindful of his mercy, just as he spoke to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary stayed with Elizabeth, with her, about 3 months. Then she returned home to her home. This passage which we just read prepares us to usher the King of Kings, born on Christmas Day. On these occasions, names are very special, yeah? Mary itself actually comes from the root word of quarreling. It goes back to the time where it was during the waters of Meribah in Numbers 20, where the Israelites quarreled and they were mumbling and grumbling to Moses about not having water to drink in the desert. And then the name Elizabeth actually means "my God is bountiful" in Hebrew. Bible names tells us a lot about Bible characters. Some names are popular, some names are not so popular. And there are more than one Marys in the Bible. In fact, just looking at the Advent series as well, there are 3 different Marys that we can come across. One of them is, of course, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Then there is Mary Magdalene in Luke chapter 8, verse 3, and in various parts of the scripture as well. And of course, you all know Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, who is mentioned in all the Gospels. And then, of course, in John chapter 19, we also hear of Mary, who is the wife of Clopas, that was mentioned. Mary is indeed blessed and special. In fact, Mary is mentioned 17 times in the Gospel of Luke, 8 times in the Gospel of Matthew, 5 times in Mark, 14 times in the Gospel of John, once in Acts, and a total of 45 times in the New Testament. But we need to be precise here, church. Mary is really special and is indeed blessed. But I need to tell you that Mary is still human. She is not divine. Mary herself needed a savior, just like all of us, as we have seen in the passage where she calls God as her savior. Mary is definitely not what some church calls as the redemptrix, queen of heaven, mother of God, mediatrix. But redemptrix means that there's an idea that's going around that Mary is also helps with the redemption of mankind. As mediatrix, Mary also mediates between man and God. As queen of heaven and mother of God, Mary has got an exalted position in heaven. But all these are matters that is never found in the gospel or in the scriptures. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, says very clearly that there is only one mediator between God and humanity, Christ Jesus, who himself gave himself a ransom for all, a testimony at the proper time. As Christians, we believe in sola scriptura, which means that the Bible is the sole authority for our faith. There's nothing else. The Bible itself is sufficient for us. Hence, while we say that Mary is blessed, we do not want to overly elevate the position of Mary. Mary is special. She is the blessed among all women. But at the same time, we do not want to altogether ignore the role that Mary had during the time of Christmas. But we need to have a balance, because with God, nothing is impossible. Mary, from time past, has sometimes been misunderstood as the mother of God because she gave birth to Jesus. I need to say that Mary is not the mother of God. She was plainly what in Greek is called as Theotokos. It means as the God-bearer. She was the vessel that God Almighty used to bring the Christ child to mankind. Unfortunately, from the Second Council of Nicaea, Mary was also elevated and brought even higher status than what the scripture actually describes her. And they say that Mary has a great honor, and they salute her and they revere her, and they in fact venerate her, her image, and also call her as a spotless lady, the Holy Mother of God. These are things that is never found in the scripture. There are many other individuals which are also much more worthy, individuals who can be counted as great men and women in the Bible. But why only pick on Mary? For instance, there is Moses, there is Samuel, there's David, who is a man after God's own heart, there is Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, there is Ezekiel, there is Elijah, there is Elisha. So why exalt and focus only on Mary? Just remember, Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 7 that among those born of women, that there is no one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he, referring to John the Baptist. So why focus on Mary? Because sometimes it's all because of misunderstanding of the scripture when the scripture tells that Mary shall be called blessed among all women. And some have accidentally, erroneously taken to exalt and elevate the position of Mary beyond what is described in scripture. Take, for instance, John the Baptist. Compared with Mary, who is mentioned 45 times, John the Baptist himself is mentioned 21 times in Luke, 25 times in Matthew, 18 in Mark, 20 times in John, and in Acts 23 times, and Roman just once. In total, John the Baptist is mentioned 108 times. 108 times. But nobody elevates the position of John the Baptist. He was plainly a herald who was sent forth to declare the way of the Lord, to call people unto repentance, as was described in the Old Testament. Church, our God is a great God. During this season of Advent, as we welcome and prepare our hearts for Christmas, let us remember that there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too difficult for Him. As I described earlier, our God is a God that intervenes in our life. Even if we have gone through much pain and difficulty this year, as the year comes to a close, we need to remember that our God is a Lord who intervenes in our lives. His providence ensures that He cares for us. He wants us to know Him personally, and He Himself has promised that He will hear and listen to all our cries. And in His own way, He will respond to our prayers. He alone intervenes whenever He wants to achieve His great plan of salvation. He intervenes in time, in history, to bring forth whatever that He wants to do to ensure that His great plan of salvation is achieved. With God, all things are possible. There's nothing too hard from Him. That's why God, in a very miraculous way, brought forth His one and only Son into the world to redeem the world and to show us the way. Mary was the vessel that God used. Mary was the vessel that God used to bring forth His one and only Son into this sinful world to redeem us back to God. That's why in Galatians 4, it says very clearly, when the time has come to completion, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. C.S. Lewis, the great literary individual, he said this, that the Son of God became man, so all of us can become sons and daughters of God. We go back to Luke chapter 1, the scripture that we read earlier. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. Sometimes you read this and you wonder, why did Mary rush to go down to see Elizabeth? Why did Mary rush to see Elizabeth? And Elizabeth was in the hill country of Judea. It is not very near. And if you look at Bible maps, it'll show you very clearly that hill country of Judea is about approximately 130 kilometers. 130 kilometers from Nazareth. And it's not easy in those days to actually make that journey. After Gabriel has announced that Mary will be with the Christ child, Mary hurried down to see Elizabeth. Why Elizabeth of all the people? Usually, in most days, in our time as well, and also in times past, when a woman gets pregnant, some of the first people that they will talk to will be their husband or their moms or even their aunties and their immediate close family members. But here the scripture tells us that Mary made a hasty journey to visit Elizabeth. Mary made a hasty journey to visit Elizabeth. And it's not like Elizabeth was staying just 1 kilometer away. She had to take a 130-kilometer journey, which will take at least about 6 to 10 days for her to reach there. And she went to see Elizabeth. Why? In my mind, Elizabeth was probably the only one who could understand what Mary is going through. No one would believe Mary if she said that she is with a child, because Mary was not married yet at that time. She was only engaged to marry Joseph. Mary was only engaged to marry Joseph. So Mary wanted to see Elizabeth. In my mind, I see that Mary wants to see some encouragement from Elizabeth. And Elizabeth surely needs some encouragement from Mary as well. So it's beautiful to see two mothers coming together, two would-be mothers coming together for mutual encouragement, and both of them are truly praising God. We go back to Scripture. When Mary came and greeted Elizabeth, Elizabeth immediately was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud voice. She said, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, The baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is he who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Let us see here, church, that it was Mary who went to Elizabeth. Mary was much younger than Elizabeth, but she wanted to show respect to Elizabeth and immediately rushed to see Elizabeth to receive encouragement and also to share notes with her about the miraculous child each of them will be bearing. And remember this year, even though Mary's child would be the greatest among mankind, she was humble to go and see Elizabeth, and she did not wait for Elizabeth to come to see her. So it is really beautiful to see two would-be mothers coming together, sharing notes, and also receiving mutual encouragement for one another. And it's interesting that the angel Gabriel, when he came, and in Luke chapter 1, verse 15, proclaimed that John the Baptist will be born to Elizabeth, he said that John the Baptist will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he was born. And we see in the passage here today that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost and she proudly exclaimed at what we read in the scripture just now. In fact, if you really look at it, John the Baptist is probably the first Pentecostal because he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he leapt even in the womb of Elizabeth. So let's go back to the question. Why is Mary blessed among all women? Luke chapter 1, verse 28 says, Having rejoiced, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you." Blessed is the Greek word, coming from the Greek word called eulogomene. It means to speak well, to say good things about a person. And this word is where the root word where we get eulogy from. And this is what we commonly say when we have someone, a brother or a sister who passed away and we go and present some good things. That's called eulogy. Eulogomene in Greek is the root word where we get, the root word is eulogy, eulogio. And the angel came and tells her that you are a favored one and you are blessed among all women. Mary is so special because among all women, she is blessed. In Luke chapter 1, verse 42, Mary spoke and said, Elizabeth spoke and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Elizabeth herself also used the same Greek term, eulogomene, confirming what angel Gabriel also said, that Mary will be a very blessed person. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 48, even Mary, in her song of praise, she says that, surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. And this time she uses a slightly different word, makarizosin, which means pronounce one to be blessed. Mary is blessed among all women. She is special. We have to regard her as someone who is unique, special among all women. Mary was chosen by God to be the Theotokos, the God-bearer, the one who would be used by God to bring forth the Christ child. She is special. And let us remember that she was actually a teenager. As a teenager, probably at the age of 13 or 14. And Mary, at that time, was humble enough to accept the prophecy that Gabriel gave her that she will bear a child. And she acted in a very mature way. And here I am, the handmaiden of the Lord. May it be to me as per your word. She was accepting and she gave glory to God as a young child. Most of us as teenagers sometimes we will be thinking and focusing on usual things in life, about games, about watching TVs, and doing our own things and all. But here was Mary, a young teenager who was so mature. When she was given to her prophecy, she accepted it and gave glory to God. I wish perhaps Mary would have gone and said that, perhaps, Gabriel, could you actually please explain this situation to my mom, or even to my villagers, or even to my fiancé Joseph as well, so they all know. Imagine how, what an awkward situation it will be for Mary to be seen with a child even before she was married. So it's very difficult, but Mary acted in a very, very mature way. It is very special because Mary comes from a humble background. Her hometown itself is Nazareth. Her hometown itself is from Nazareth. And Nazareth is actually a very small town. It's a very small town. Some people say there are only about 400 people there. Recent excavations, and some people have put out a theory that maybe it could be a people as much as 1,000 people living in the town of Nazareth. But Nazareth is a very small, insignificant town. It's a nobody town. Okay, it's nothing. Nobody would, in fact, pay attention to her. In fact, Nathaniel, in the scriptures, when he was said that the Messiah has arrived, he said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" God chooses the weak things, the nobodies, to do his mighty work. Someone like Mary, who is a teenager, who was nobody before this event of Gabriel announcing the birth of Christ child. Mary was a nobody. Nazareth was a nothing town. Nobody pays attention to Nazareth. And God chose Mary, who comes from Nazareth, from nothing. And Mary wasn't very rich. Mary wasn't very rich. She was poor. She was very poor. And she feared God. She feared God. Despite her humble status, she wasn't very proud. She was humble. She gave thanks to God. In fact, as a teenager, she prayed and would have been someone who knows the scripture as well. Because as we see later after this, we will see how Mary's prayer actually resembles the prayer of Hannah in the Old Testament. And how would Mary know this unless she had actually read the scripture or memorized the scripture? And she could even remember some of the great things in the past about how God has promised to satisfy the hungry and send the rich away empty, and also that God has promised to keep his promises to Abraham. God has promised to keep his promises made to Abraham. How does Mary know all this? Unless, of course, as a young teenager, she would have read the scriptures and kept all these things in her heart. Mary kept all these things in her heart. And there's so much of similarities from Mary as a young teenager, focusing on what angel Gabriel has said, and then she sang forth in a song of praise when Elizabeth greeted her when the two women met. So many similarities between the song that Mary gave and also the song that Hannah gave in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 2. We can see in Samuel as well when Hannah says, "My heart rejoices." Mary also says the same thing, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord." In verse 2, in 1 Samuel, it says, "There is no one holy like you." Mary also says the same thing. His name is holy. In 1 Samuel 2, verse 3, Hannah says, "Do not boast so proudly. Let the arrogant words come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and his actions are weighed by him." Mary says the same thing too. She says that he has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. And Mary's prayer closely mirrors Hannah's prayer in the Old Testament. How could this happen? Unless, of course, Mary has memorized the Old Testament and remembered it in her heart. And we are talking about a teenager who's about 13 or 14 or 15 years old, who would be probably wanting to go and play with her friends or do things that normal teenagers do. But instead, we see Mary praying a prayer which closely resembles the Old Testament. These are things that she must have kept in her heart. She must have memorized it. It was remarkable that Mary has done this. A certain nobody from a nobody town becomes suddenly a significant person playing the role of bringing forth the Christ child into the world. These are very important. And we can learn a lot from Mary. We can learn a lot from Mary that with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. You can be a nobody. You can be someone which nobody pays attention to, that nobody cares, nobody even remembers your name. But God can use you. God can use any one of us. All we need to do is to be obedient and willing to be used as an instrument in the hands of God, in the hands of the mighty God of the universe. There are many things that we can learn from Mary. Many things that we can learn from Mary. That God did not come to stay with the rich. From Mary's prayer, God did not come to stay with the rich and the powerful. He picked a lowly, unknown person to be the vessel where the Christ child, the Redeemer of mankind, will come to earth. It was amazing and remarkable that Mary, from a nobody town, was chosen to do this. God reaches to the poor and to those who are humble. You may be poor, you may be insignificant, but God will choose weak things and insignificant people to accomplish His mighty deeds, to do what He has planned to do for His great salvation project, to redeem men and women back to Him. We also know that Mary is special. Mary is special because she was one of the few people that saw the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, from birth and also right to His death on the cross on Calvary. Mary was there during all this time, during all this journey, Mary was there. And if you remember in Luke chapter 2, when Mary went to the temple, Simeon came and also prophesied and laid hands on the baby, and Simeon said this, that a sword will pierce through your heart also. A sword will pierce through a heart also. And to me, when I read that, it only shows me that this will be something that Mary will have to endure to see her son on Calvary. Dying on Calvary, shedding his blood for the sake of mankind. For the sake of mankind. Mary went through great difficulty here. As a young teenager, being found with a child. And for a young teenager who has not yet married, the threat in the Old Testament will be that they will call her an adulteress and they have to punish her by stoning. Mary went through the entire phase of great challenges, pain, and struggle, right up to the point of Calvary to see her son crucified on cross. That a sword did actually pierce her heart. This all brings me back to Jesus here. It all brings me back to Jesus because while the story is about Mary, Elizabeth, Zacharias, Jesus, Aaron, Moses, and so on, and even David, but the story of Christmas is really about Jesus. And just like Mary, who comes from a humble town, from a town which nobody actually knows, nobody actually realizes, and Jesus himself remained humble throughout his entire earthly ministry. Jesus himself remained humble throughout his earthly ministry. God does not seek the rich or the powerful. He reaches out to the poor and to those who are humble. Jesus himself remained very humble throughout his entire earthly ministry. And I want to say that God specifically seeks the nobodies of the world to accomplish His purposes. Jesus seeks the nobodies of this world to accomplish His purposes. The Holy Spirit seeks the nobodies of this world for His purposes. God Almighty will use any one of us, the insignificant people amongst us, to do His great work. So if you are one of those nobodies over here who goes in and out of the office, who goes in and out of the church, who goes about your daily business and nobody knows who you are, do not be discouraged. You are one of those vessels that God can use to accomplish His project. All we have to do is to remain obedient and be willing to be used as an instrument of the Lord God Almighty. Of the Lord God Almighty. Jesus said that foxes have dens, birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. The Son of Man has no place to lay His head. And this is the beauty of the story of Advent, church. It's so beautiful. We are talking about the Ancient of Days, God Almighty, the eternal Son of God, who was present from eternity with God Almighty. And He has emptied Himself to be born on earth. He emptied Himself to be born on earth amongst a sinful world, to soil His feet amongst us. It's amazing. This is a story that each time we read, we feel very moved. And we are so grateful for what Jesus has done for all of us. For what Jesus has done for all of us. God could have done so many things to accomplish His salvation project, because God is God. He can do anything that He wants. God could have chosen to send His archangel Michael, a mighty, powerful God, to accomplish His salvation project if He wants to. God could have sent His legions of angels to come and redeem us if He wants to. God could have done anything that He wants to. But He chose Himself. He chose Himself and sent forth His Son to be born amongst us, to walk amongst us, to suffer together with us. And by so doing, He knows the pain and struggles and challenges and difficulties, our tears, our sweat, our struggles daily. And dying on the cross and redeeming each one of us to Himself. Redeeming each one of us to Himself. That is our mighty God. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. This world may say there are many types of Savior. There are many types of Savior. In fact, now the coronavirus vaccine has come out and people say that the virus is a Savior of mankind. In Isaiah 43, it says that there is only one Savior. I, the Lord, Yahweh, is the only Savior. Apart from me, there is no other. We have only one Savior, church. There is no one else. There is no one else. This Christmas story is so special and unique. When I think of it, sometimes tears flow out from my eyes. Why would God want to be born on this sinful earth where He could not, as a baby, even care for Himself? God, as a baby, the Christ child, would be dependent on His own creation. God will be dependent on Mary to take care even of His basic needs. The Christ child, when he's hungry, he has got to be dependent on Mary to feed him. On Mary to feed him, to bathe him, to clean him. This is the zenith of humility. There's nothing that can describe what God has done for us. Why would God want to be born like one of us to redeem us, church? It's incredible just to think of it. God left His throne above. Jesus Christ, the right hand of God, He left His throne, emptied Himself of everything that He had with God to be born with us. By so doing, He's so dependent on His earthly parents for even His basic needs. If that is not humility, I don't know what is humility anymore. I don't know what is humility anymore. When I think of the nativity scene, I think of my own sin. And I praise God and I'm grateful to Him for everything that He has done for me. For everything that He has done for me. Church, Mary is indeed the one who gave birth to Christ in our passage today. But the story is not just about Mary. but it's about the child that Mary has brought forth into the world, not on her own, but by the Holy Spirit. And I say that one greater than Mary is here today amongst us. One greater than Mary is here amongst us. He's here with us, with the Spirit. He's here with us in the Spirit. And so I ask you, church, that this Christmas, make it special. Make it special. With all the challenges, the pain, the struggles that we've gone through, let this Christmas be special. I myself have gone through a lot of challenges. I lost a dear brother in Christ this year. He was just 1 week older than I was. He was so close to me, I loved him very much. Every time I pick a guitar and sing a song, I remember him. I find it very difficult to forget this brother of mine. I loved him so much. A few weeks ago, another sister in Christ in my cell group also passed away, going through a terrible difficulty with battling with cancer. I've lost two very important people in my life this year, and not to mention the challenges that we've gone through with our economy, with our environment, with the healthcare crisis that we have by the COVID-19 pandemic. The only hope that we have when we go through this pain is the encouragement that we get from the Scripture, church. The encouragement and the hope that the Scripture gives us. We can only kneel down and say, Lord, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord. Come quickly. And the Scripture really encourages me, and I hope it also encourages all of you, that only in Christ we will have hope. And I pray that this Christmas will be special to you. It is not the story about Moses. It's not the story about David. It's not the story about Zechariah. It's not the story about Elizabeth. It's not the story about Mary or Joseph or anybody else. This entire Scripture is about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And I ask you to make this Christmas special. Look at the Christ child and come to Him. Be grateful to Him. Jesus calls on to you. Jesus calls on to you and asks you and tells you that He is gentle and humble in heart, and that only in Him you will find rest. And He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So come to Him. Come to Him. If you think you are poor, you are a nobody, someone who is not popular, people pass you by, don't even remember your name, and you think you don't have anything to contribute, you can't give anything to serve the church or even to do anything for the purposes of God's kingdom, you are mistaken. You are not a nobody. You are special, one for whom Christ Jesus Himself, the Christ child, was born and for whom His blood was shed for your sake. And I ask you and I tell you that God wants you. God wants you, each and every one of you, for His own. God wants you for His own. He seeks the simple ones. He seeks the simple ones, the humble ones, the willing ones, those who love Him with a pure heart. And I say, church, that God will intervene in your life too. As I mentioned at the start of this message, that the way I see God is a God who intervenes. And He will intervene in your life if you seek Him. So come to Jesus. There is no other Savior apart from Jesus. Then there's nothing impossible with God. There's nothing impossible with God. He did an impossible thing, even with Mary, even with Elizabeth, by giving them a child each. God can do mighty things. There's nothing too hard for Him. And God says in Jeremiah 29, you will seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart. Get down on your knees, seek the Lord God, and you will truly find Him. You will truly find Him, church. As I come to a close of this message, I'd like to give an opportunity to some of us here who have not yet known Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You may have gone through a lot of challenge, a lot of pain in your life. You could have lost your job, the uncertainty, in the horizon. You don't know whether how you're going to feed your family, or how you're going to provide your family, or what you're going to do next. You may be stuck. You may be fearful. You may be afraid. But I ask you, don't lose hope. And I urge you to come to Jesus. To come to Jesus this Christmas. I give you an opportunity now, if you have not known Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, maybe take a few moments just to reflect on Luke chapter 1, how Jesus came into this world. How Jesus came into this world, emptying himself, being born on earth for our sake. If you can get down on your knees and pray to him right now and tell him that you so love him and you are grateful to him, invite him into your life, into your hearts, and confess your sins to him today, right now. If you do so, you will become his child. You will become his child. He accepts you just as you are. Just as you are. Surrender your life to him. Surrender your life to him. Church, some of you who are already known the Lord as Savior, if you need encouragement, take encouragement from Luke chapter 1. Take encouragement from Mary. Take encouragement from Elizabeth. God can make the impossible happen because there's nothing too difficult for him. Do not despair. Do not allow disappointment to consume you. But have hope. Despite the challenges, despite the difficulties, God is still a God who cares for us. God is still a God who cares for us. He is El Olam, the everlasting God. He is the only Savior. Apart from him, there's no other Savior. And he, just as he did by sending his Son, he will touch you in a very special way. Those of us who have not known the Lord, if you want to say this prayer with me to accept Jesus into your heart, you may do so. I ask you to bend your knees and lift your hands and say this after me. Bend your knees, lift your hands to Jesus and say this after me to receive the Lord as your Savior. Lord Jesus, forgive me for the times that I've not known you, for the times that I've not done things right, for the times that I've not listened to good instructions. Forgive me for the times that I've committed grave sins. I confess that I am a sinner, that I cannot save myself. And I ask you, Lord, that you will forgive me. And I ask you, plead with you, as I confess that Jesus Christ will be my Lord, and I invite Jesus into my heart. I ask you, Lord, that I too will be accepted into your kingdom through Jesus. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Set all things right. Strengthen me. Encourage me. Give me a second chance, Lord. Forgive me my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And church, for the rest of us, please join me in prayer. Lord, I pray for those of us who are suffering and who are hurting, for those of us who need a hope, that you will touch them in a very special way and you will heal them of all their pain, of all their tears, of all their challenges, that your name will be glorified in their life as they seek you with all your heart. In your time, may all things be beautiful, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.